What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello.
Hello, that's a nice shirt you're wearing.
Thank you. I just got them. I got all of them.
I'm wearing mine.
I cracked this one out. I did that. They fit really nice. Oh, nice. Perfect. Yeah.
Oh,
they
fit. I forgot to order mine. God dang it.
I have an extra medium if you want.
Fucking company. Like, we understand. Hold on, Nick. Hold on, Nick. We have to have an employee manager meeting.
Sorry.
Andy, close your eyes. Fucking company. All right. We understand that you have. It's his meeting. He can't leave his meeting. It wasn't you and me. It wasn't manager.
No, I'm actually surprised I caught the one Slack reply thread where I could get these, because usually I'm like, oh, that's so cool, when can I get that? And Joey's like, there was a Slack message 16 yeah. months ago about that. So I'm glad I got all of them. I got all the color variants that we sell in black, which is exactly. Cool.
Of course, kindoffunny.com/store. You can go get your new Kind of Funny Pride shirts. Get over there and do it. Of course, the man not wearing it because he doesn't support this company is the Hispanic
made the shirt. Texas.
We understand. You have a Twitch channel. It's very successful. We understand, all right? Support us. Don't wear your shirt. This shirt. What is this? Is a Daft Punk shirt?
What is that?
Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk. Oh,
you need some carrots.
You got you sold out to the chair. Now the shirt, and now to the carrots. Huh?
Nothing more cyberpunk than carrots.
You know what I mean? He's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Street Latino heat, clicking heads, ripping him to shreds, the globe trotting, head shotting, not supporting, Kind of Funny, Nitro Rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Carrots are a dangerous game.
They really are. There's a cliff you're headed for.
Like what? You're gonna choke on them or what? Mm-hmm.
It's a good snack. Obviously, I love snacking on carrots, but
or who doesn't?
The granular nature of them. If you have, it just happened right there. If you happen to inhale, mm-hmm. they go right to your esophagus, and it's kind of scary. It's a risk.
You have a full baby carrot just rattling around in your lungs right now because you've inhaled it.
See, for me, it's granola. I love a good granola. But if I have a granola and I go talk, and then I'm gonna have granola pieces in my esophagus, and then I can't talk. It sucks.
Greg, before you introduce our guest today,
sure.
Can I pay Andy a compliment?
You sure can.
Now, Andy, obviously, I love all your designs. This is my new favorite. The addition of the exclamation mark into the KF logo was inspired. I don't think I ever got a chance to tell you
that.
Thank
you.
It's very, very
cool.
I think it finishes it off nicely.
I want to make it a standard. And also, interesting that you go exclamation mark.
Not exclamation point.
Thank you. Right, Jamie? We haven't introduced it. Sorry.
He said point.
No, he said mark.
I said mark.
Did
yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Is it a point?
Rounding out the quartet is my mother, Jamie Kennedy. Hello, Mom. Yay. How are you?
Hey, Ma.
I'm fine.
All right, great. So now wait. Yeah, so you were going to call out the exclamation mark rather than point. That's where we're going with this one?
Well, Andy. It's always something that I get confused by. I always say the wrong thing, much like Nick just did.
Sure.
And I think
is there a wrong thing or is it just there's multiple things?
Looking it up.
I think exclamation point is the thing, and then question mark, right?
Well, I always thought a point was a point, a dot, right? The exclamation mark is two different things, so I always just think it's a mark because I think of that like, I don't know. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm totally probably wrong about
it. I think it goes both ways. It reminds me of very much, of course, big old Jamie Kennedy here took care of me, raised me, did all these different things. And I remember her teaching me my prayers. And I remember one time you had to go to work or whatever, so Dad said prayers with me. And he said, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Ah.
And I was like, wait a second, it's called the Holy Spirit. And Dad's like, well, it can be both. And you came home, and I was very excited to tell you this. And do you remember what you said?
No.
You said, I specifically held that information from you because I knew you'd equate it to Ghostbusters and then prayer would be ruined.
What
I booted up the proton pack. You know what I said? I said, get in the trap, Jesus. We're going.
Jamie, you might have gone the wrong way with that, though, because if you told him it was spirit from the get-go, he might have thought all of Catholicism and Christianity was based in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And he would have gone to church every Sunday waiting for that one moment where he's like, in the name of Venkman and Spangler and I forgot the
Stance and Zedmore. Stance, yeah.
Thank you.
Good point, Nick.
Yeah. Here's what I've
pulled up. They're both correct, depending on which dialect of English you ascribe to. Exclamation mark is part of the British English, whereas exclamation point is part of American English. I guess that makes sense.
Got it. Okay. I mean, I think we just go, Nick, let's just default back to mark, right? I think we should all just use mark, because in no situation would I ever say
like
question point,
Sure. But that's a different thing,
Question mark.
Question point. It's a version of a mark. Nobody would say that.
But isn't a question mark just a finished exclamation mark? You know, if you think about it.
Straightened out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like when you try to straighten a hanger and you're like, look, Mom, what I did. You're like, no, it didn't. You ruined the hanger.
It's exactly like that, Nick. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table to bullshit about whatever bullshit they want to bullshit about. If you like that, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you can write in to be part of the show. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, everything under the Kind of Funny sun. Then, of course, if you're on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you could be watching live, just like Jeff the Maverick is, Joshy G is, the Lou is, Kessel Winks is. For the record, you know, I said Jeff the Maverick, Joshy. I, for some reason, immediately skipped Matthew Lewis. That wasn't personal. I apologize. I want to point out,
you just did the most dad thing I've ever seen you do in my entire life.
Sure.
The Andy, he did the look forward, and adjust the glasses to figure out which one's going to give him the best vision. And then it was like, no, screw it, just go with no glasses.
I mean, it's because if we're being honest here, you know, I'm a consummate professional and I want the show to look as professional as possible. And so I got my mom here, so I'm further away from the screen than usual. And these, spoilers, everybody, these aren't my real glasses. These are my real glasses. But these glasses would show the screen. So I wear the Movement Everscroll glasses so I don't get, with the blue light canceling, I don't get any of the reflections. But that means I lose all the powers of the eagle-eyed lenses.
You can't see right now.
Portillo could walk in the room, I wouldn't even know it's him. You know what I mean? Like, get this giant rat out of here, is what I'd say.
Why is this rat moving so slowly?
Why does this rat want to be caught? Of course, patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post-show we do each and every episode. Remember, we do two episodes a week, oftentimes with guests. You got two guests this week, of course. Well, I guess not. As a recording, right? We had Renee on last week, if you're watching on YouTube. Later, my mom. And then next week, you're going to get two back-to-back of the quartet before E3 tears the schedule apart and we don't know what the hell happens next. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way on YouTube or patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week, twice a week, to get brand spanking new episodes for you. Housekeeping! Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen on YouTube? If you're a Patreon person, this is live and doesn't make sense to you, but for YouTube it will. Conjuring in Review returns this week. Yeah. That's right, on Friday, Conjuring 3 hits both HBO Max and theaters around the world. We will be doing our Conjuring 3 in Review. We have James, we have Elise. The crew is reassembling on Friday to review it and post it ASAP on Friday. Andy, we're excited. You don't have any conflicts this time, right? You're going to be able to join us.
Oh, yeah. Definitely be there. Can't wait.
Good.
Really excited.
It was rough on the, it was weird on the last Conjuring in Review. We went through all of them. We went through The Conjuring. We went through The Conjuring 2. We went through Annabelle. We did The Nun. Every time something happened, you couldn't come watch the movies with us.
Yeah, I was kind of unfortunate, but I'm excited to see where the franchise goes, right? Where can they take this? It's been such a journey, and we've seen, you know, the main character grow up over all these eight movies. You know, it's really exciting.
The main character. Okay.
Andy, do you all the cast? Greg and I were thinking about just watching it on Discord together at the same exact time.
Yeah, you want to watch with us?
Want to do that with us?
Yeah, drop me a line.
Well, you know what, Nick? We're being silly. We all have our shots.
We're all vaxxed.
You know what I mean? Especially by Friday. Andy, we can just come over. We can
curl. Yeah, I'll come right over to your house.
We can all watch
recall. I had a recall on the old vax.
Oh, they recalled your vaccine. Damn. Yeah. I hadn't seen that headline.
The second shot, they just did lemonade. It was lemonade.
They missed.
They screwed up. There were two vials. One was a vial of the vax, and the other was a little mini bitty lemonade.
Little mini made.
Thank you for the final time to our April Patreon
the
producers.
Vial was clear. It was clear.
Yeah, you can have clear lemonade. That's fine. Joshua Schroeder, Delaney Twinning, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, and Steve Powers. I'm excited to meet our May Patreon producers when we start up the June episodes. Today we're brought to you by Babbel, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Nick, what do you want to know about my mom? What do you want to know from my mom?
I mean, I love your mom. It's so cool to see you. It's awesome. What I want to know is how excited are you to welcome your grandchild into the world? Is this crazy, or are we just like, meh, another day?
No, it's crazy. I can't wait.
Yeah?
I really can't wait. I can't believe we already know it's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Jen's so cute.
Does it bring back any sort of like anxiety for you knowing how crazy Greg was growing up that you might have another Greg running around?
Greg was not crazy growing up.
Thank you.
See, okay, but Aunt Jody and Aunt Julie.
No, Cousin Jody and Cousin Julie, all right?
Cousin Jody, Cousin Julie.
I blew their mind a couple months ago, right? I just started calling them out of the blue, and they're like, we've never heard of these people. Why are you calling these cousins? You're making them up.
What about the cousins?
Okay, so Greg asked, was I crazy growing up? And they said, no. And then they said, you did have I forget what Jody's exact words were, but I think it was some of the degree of like an unprecedented amount of interest in Ghostbusters. And like he kept me like that, which Andy and I both took as code for this kid was crazy. This kid was a little monster growing up.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I'm surprised they didn't bring up He-Man and She-Ra.
Sure. I don't think we've ever gotten into Greg's He-Man and She-Ra obsession.
Who's the one with the lasso?
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
I'm surprised they didn't bring that up because Jody and Julie scoured the stores when Greg's Wonder Woman lost her lasso.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It that's was hard.
That's a family right there.
See, that's back when people weren't thinking too much about toys, Greg. They were like, oh, put a lasso in her hand. No kid will ever lose that. And what's the first thing you immediately lost?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If I remember right, the story was you guys were all pouring over the backyard looking for this little piece. And then you, of course, had a piece of thread.
Cord.
Yeah, and I wouldn't accept that. No. I wouldn't accept that.
It was the exact same thing.
Sure.
But it didn't come with the doll. So
exactly. It was much like when you gave me the superpower Superman figure in the bathtub and his S washed up.
Oh, God. Yes.
Oh, no.
Now, I have questions for this. Now, when you got the new Wonder Woman doll, did you take the lasso and give it to the original doll, or did the original doll just remain sans lasso for the rest of your life?
I'm asking you. I don't remember.
I know. I think we took the lasso and put it away so we wouldn't lose it again.
So we never... That lasso is in a safety deposit box in Chicago now. That's amazing. No, I remember I had a Wonder Woman toy where I think it must have been later because they put they affixed the belt. It was just part of the doll itself. You couldn't take it off. But I'll never forget.
She actually held it in her hand.
That's back when they cared.
But it didn't stay. So.
My brother asked me, this is how messed up my brother was back in the day. This is zero F's given. I was like, hey, man, can I have your Wonder Woman doll? I need it for a school project. And I think he must have been in freshman year. And I was like, sure, I didn't know. I was like, yeah, go for it. Never got it back. See the school project. And I'm like, he cut the heels off of her and then nailed her into this scale model of, I think it was the Parthenon or something like that. It was a Greek temple. And he knew that he knew that Diana was a Greek god of some sort. So he just used her as the statue instead of molding it with his own hands. It's still in there to this day. My dad has it in his garage.
I want photos of that. I get Big Lou on that or even.
I'll text him. Yeah.
Jamie, what was the phone call like with Greg? Him telling you the news?
Well, I love whenever he calls with
Here
Big
we go.
News.
Here we go. It's my
phone. Right. Are you sitting down?
His thing that he always tells me is don't react.
I see you're taking this one out of context.
Am I?
When I called about my cancer, I said don't react. And then I said, you know what? Sorry, that's not fair. Obviously, you have your emotions. This time around, I think what I was trying to say is
it was too early.
Yeah, like hey, Rob, I'm gonna tell you this, but it's not like locked in. I think you interpreted it as stone face, don't say anything, don't do anything, which is
I'm
not
going
what
in
I meant.
Jail
I apologize.
For the rest of my life.
It was my words. It was my words. I hear you.
But yeah, have you heard of corporate espionage? That is what I've done.
Are you sure your phone is not tapped?
Yeah.
Don't react. Go outside to the mailbox and get the manila envelope Poe has dropped off.
Yeah. That is so funny.
So yeah, it was I wanted to react and I didn't because of the way he presented it. It's like, okay, I was thinking that possibly they knew something was wrong and they weren't telling us, but they wanted us to know that they were expecting. So, I just held it close to my chest till after I got off the phone with him and then sat there and cried.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good. That's
happy tears.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, I mean, that was Greg and Jen talked about that. And obviously it's something that you don't think about. You know, unless you go through the process of how, like, just the various things that can happen in that first trimester and how you know, you guys kind of blew my mind with some of the statistics on like miscarriages and things like that. So I'm glad we're out of the woods on that one. And now we could just start buying Halloween candy for the kid.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Never goes bad.
That's another question for you. How do you balance that out? Because as the uncle, obviously me and Andy get to just come in once a month with PlayStation 5s and Halloween and full Snickers bars, and we're going to be the favorites, right? But how do you balance out saying no? When young Greg wants a second or a third Wonder Woman whip, how do you just be like, no, we can't do
First
that?
First off, right it's now. A lasso, and you know it's a lasso. Catwoman uses the whip.
Fair enough.
How do you balance it out?
Well, Greg was always really kind. He knew, I guess maybe I told him that I knew he was spoiled, and that was fine. Just like your pets, your kids, it's okay to spoil them. But the difference is being spoiled and being spoiled rotten. Mm-hmm. And the difference to me is being spoiled is, yes, you have whatever you want. You get what you want. You ask for things. You follow the rules and you get what you want. Being spoiled rotten is demanding.
Yeah.
And I hated kids who demand things. I've seen that where I want that. Greg would never say, I want that. He would say, the next one that I want to join my collection would be this one or whatever.
Please.
Like, I have like a presentation. I'm like, as you can see, my interest in superheroes is going through the roof. So at the next quarter,
Mrs.
we need
Mom,
it.
Let me show you the future.
His dad had such a seasonal job. He was very careful about asking for things because Greg equated his dad being home in the winter as to we had no money.
Mm.
I can remember one time in particular, we went shopping and he asked for some toy. I don't remember.
Toys R Us. Yeah, we were at Toys R Us. It didn't matter what it was, but we got the checkout. Yeah. And you didn't pay in cash. You used a credit card.
I used a card.
I lost it crying in the store.
Yeah. And he said, don't buy it, Mom. We're out of money. Don't buy it. I don't. It's like, Greg, I just don't have the cash with me. It's okay.
You know? Imagine being that 19-year-old cashier. This kid's melting down, screaming that his parents can't afford this. And the cashier's like,
meanwhile, you have 18-year-old Greg crying.
Because Mom
used
a plastic card. You know, and now we all live on plastic. Now you wouldn't even think twice about it.
I know.
Yeah, always... Greg was very careful about that, about asking for things and not. And I mean, like Aunt Del would have spoiled him rotten, anything he wanted. Your first gaming
Game Boy, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're like, there is no way I'm spending $100 on a game, video game handheld. Oh, you didn't say handheld, video game machine, probably.
Yeah, something to that effect, I'm sure. Yeah.
So you got what you wanted, but you weren't a little shit about it, Greg. You were you were a kind kid.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
he was.
I tried.
And he shared. He shared with his friends who didn't have games that they couldn't play. They were, of course, kids were always welcome at our house. And Greg would have them come over. Oh, I got a new game. Come on over and let's play it. You know, so.
Desperate for friends.
That's
it's
good,
not like
though.
He asked for many, many things and he wanted multiples. He just never did.
Well, yeah, I think into the spoiled rotten thing, I think having that conversation with me always helped, you know what I mean? And knowing that. And granted, I'm talking about being when you're old enough to be cognizant of it, right? But I remembered what helped for me a lot was, you know, especially in the family, I'm the last kid, right? Like in terms of the family we were hanging out with, the immediate family. And so it was always that thing of, you guys sympathized, everybody, to a degree of like, we're going to go hang out at Aunt Del's house. And it's like, there's no other kid there, and it's going to be a lot of adult conversation. And then, like, when your parents were older and getting sick and they took care of it, like, there was a thing of, like, hey, we, like, an unspoken thing of, like, hey, we know this sucks, so, like, thank you for not being a shit about that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that reinforced, I think, the good behavior on it and stuff like that, but probably made me more crazy to where I am now. Like, that's where it all starts.
Yeah.
Kevin, you remember more recently, I think, on Kind of Funny Games Daily or whatever, where I was talking and I was like, well, yeah, you know, you didn't know Twitch was going to be a thing, but I remember playing video games and commentating to myself as if I was on the Golf Channel about what was happening. And I'm like, everybody did that, right? And Kevin's like, no,
really?
They did not.
No, I did that.
I did that all the time, Greg.
He like recorded it and kept the tapes.
No.
Oh,
my God. We got to get those tapes.
No,
there's a tape of you.
UIWF tapes.
Yeah, that was enough. Recording.
When did you realize that Greg's sort of interests went into the obsession level where he was just like, at one point you're thinking, oh, he likes superheroes, he likes these little things, every kid likes
grow
their
out
sort
of
thing. Yeah, like when did you realize like, oh no, this is kind of gonna follow him for the rest of his life, he's gonna be into this forever?
Right now, just
probably
right now.
About the time that he told me that he wanted to work for Gaming Monthly, wasn't
EGM.
Gaming
Monthly. Electronic EGM, Gaming Monthly.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't electronic then. It was the magazine.
No, that's what it was called.
Oh,
electronic
EGM.
Gaming.
Yeah.
company gaming.
It was Meta.
Probably then. But I looked at his obsession with gaming and his action figures. We never called them toys.
No,
his
never.
Action figures, very similar to my obsession with horses.
Okay.
Because I got told my whole life, you're going to outgrow this. You know, my parents didn't want me to take lessons because I'm going to outgrow it. You know, don't, they wouldn't buy me a horse. Well, they couldn't afford it. So, you know, they were silly enough to say, when you can afford to do this, you can do it. So when I came home at 14 and told them about a horse, you know, they shouldn't have been shocked.
Wait, I'm sorry. You came home at like 14 Greg, and told me about a horse?
She bought a horse at 14, yeah.
You bought a horse at 14?
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack that. Let's sell this back. How does a when I was 14, I think I had I barely had $3.25 to get into a movie, and I had to beg my mom for enough money for a large popcorn and a king size.
I was so
Reese's.
Obsessed, Nick, with horses that there was a stable in West
Chicago.
Did
you just come home with the horse? And you're like, hey, this is my horse. He's gonna be on my roof now.
Move the car. Move the car. This is going in the garage.
Move the gremlin. No,
like
going to the
Greg,
garage.
I had a whole game plan. I mean, when I was in eighth grade, I used to ride my bike 7.5 miles, and I work an hour to be able to ride horses for an hour. I'd groom horses, get them ready for the livery people. That's people who went on trail rides on them. Mm-hmm. And then you could ride for an hour. I cleaned stalls, cleaned horses, took care of the mules, did all that kind of stuff at this farm. Then my sister's boyfriend at the time, his mother owned horses. So
that's
I
the
begged
end.
My
you're
sister.
In right there.
Well, yeah. And I begged my sister, you know, forever to take me to meet this woman, which she put off for years. And in the meantime, I started raising rabbits and selling them to put the money away so someday I could buy a horse.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Okay.
And then I finally met this woman.
How much are you selling these rabbits for?
Couple bucks.
Okay. Or people still eating them, or
no, they were pets. Okay. Papa used to tell me that I was a horrible businesswoman because I gave away more food than, but he bought the food, so what did I care?
Good point. Your investor wasn't expecting a return, so use that angel money.
So, through this wonderful woman who took me under her wing to teach me how to ride, she had a horse that she let me ride until it got too arthritic, and then we had to put her down, and then. She agreed. I went to St. Francis like Greg did for high school, and she lived about 1.5 miles away from there. So she agreed that if I would come after school and take care of her horses, I could have a horse there.
That's cool.
She helped me find the horse that I bought mm-hmm. because it was one of her old students who had the horse. Unfortunately, by the time we found him, the old student had beaten him and starved him. Almost to death.
Jesus.
Why? I didn't.
Just
because the horse had broken her leg, but the horse broke her leg because she had a mare that had a baby, and my horse loved babies. Also, this woman who took me under her wing, she raised thoroughbreds, so every year we had babies there, and that was part of my duty to take care of that.
Oh my God.
Horses. The girl starved him when we got there. My horse, you could count every rib. You could see every bone. It's kind of like the stories you see on TV now. Mm-hmm. And the young horse that, okay, go back to the broken leg.
Yeah.
She decided one day, now she used to have horses on this one farm by us. It was a very established farm. And my horse gained weight if he walked past a bale of hay. He was always fat, sloppy fat.
Sloppy fat. Team sloppy fat.
But they moved to a brand new house in a more exclusive area. So there wasn't established pastures. So she had to go out and feed it. Now, her father built her a stable with 3 stalls in it and a bedroom. She could lay in the bed, and she had a picture window and could see her horses in their stalls.
That's amazing.
Unfortunately, when we went out there, there was 3 feet of manure in these stalls because she had never cleaned
them.
No, the horses weren't fed. They weren't taken care of.
So she's just a crappy owner, basically.
Yeah. And what she did was she took the baby out one day and decided she was going to teach it how to lead. So she threw a halter on it, threw long lines on it, and took a whip with her. Smart enough to lock up the mother, knowing that the mother would defend the baby, but stupid enough not to lock up my horse. So she went out there and started beating on the baby. The baby screamed. My horse came running to save the baby and broke her leg, kicked her and broke her leg. So from that point on, unbeknownst to me at the time when I bought the horse, other than I knew he was starved, she also beat him. I found out she used to tie him up and beat him the second day I owned my horse because we were going to go riding. When my horse hated people so bad that it was December 1st when I got him. He was skin and bone. He hasn't eaten it. We took hay over there for the last 2 weeks until we could get the vet to check him and all the things you got to do before you bring a horse home. And the bales of hay that we left there were still whole. She never even fed him. So after a 3-hour fight to get my horse into the trailer because he wouldn't let anybody touch him, they brought him in. We put him in the paddock where I was sitting on the water trough with a flake of hay in my lap and the old coffee can of grain in the hay, figuring if he wanted to eat or drink, he had to come past me. He had to come to me, and that's how I would bond with him. I sat there from 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night in the pouring rain because I wasn't going to give up, and he finally came to me. So he did bond with me, and no one else could touch him. But the next day when I went to ride him, like we always did, we took him up to the fence, tied him up to the fence, and then brushed him and put their saddle and stuff on. And I tied him up fence, turned around to get my brush, and I hear this horrendous sound. I turn around to see my horse running with 8 feet of fence with him.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And the trainer, the woman who took me, she just looked at me and goes, well, he's your horse. Go catch him.
Oh, no.
And I found out from that you couldn't tie him up because she would tie him up and then beat him.
Yeah, so he would like that.
Allow himself to be tied up. So that was the horse that I bought.
Wow.
Believe it or not, you got it at a rock bottom price. Yes, it was a steal.
We knew Greg, how well trained he was.
I was going to say, Greg, can you imagine doing any of this? Like
at 14? I can't imagine doing it now.
Yeah.
Like my wife is gone for the weekend and she asked me to Swiffer over the weekend. And I was like, ah, there's a lot of responsibility you're putting in my hands right now.
But I think that's like, you know, it's something I talk about on a numerous podcasts, not always ours, but it is like, I think you see that, like what you're talking about. Your passion for that is passion for games or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, same thing of being, you know, 14 and drawing the comics and then selling the comics and figuring out a way that like, I was going to publish this book, but I didn't want to pay for copies. So like I'm going bank by bank in Glen Ellen to their free copiers and using it till I get kicked out and stuff like that.
And by you know, he had his game plan. By selling the comics, we could buy a copier, which we did. You know,
make money
smart. Just like I sold rabbits so I could buy my horse. He sold comics so he could get a copier to sell more comics.
But I mean, I remember, I mean, we're talking, this must have been what, like early 90s or mid 90s for Greg? When was this when he was making these comic books? Because you were born in
early 90s, mid 90s. Yeah, 83.
So 83. So like, you know, late 80s, early 90s, if I came to my parents and said, hey, I think I want to pursue a career in like horses, they'd be like, okay, we see a path to that, right?
Yeah.
You can be a vet, you can be a trainer, you can work on a farm, you can do lots of things that my parents would probably have context for. If I said, I want to pursue a career in video games, my mom would say, we just spent an entire weekend driving around looking for one of those Nintendos, and it was not a pleasurable experience. There's no way you're going to be able to do this. Forget about it, right? But Greg always tells these stories about you talking to him, and you just kind of got it. And I'm mystified about that, especially since my mom still thinks we make Halo.
Well, I think that I got it because my dream was not supported by my parents. And it wasn't because they were mean parents. They were great parents. They didn't understand it. To them, the only people that owned horses were rich people.
Yeah.
You know, and we weren't rich. End of story. You know, so by them saying to me, you can get a horse when you can afford to buy one. Okay.
All right. You're like, cool. Sure.
Challenge accepted. Hold my beer. I'm going to buy a horse.
Horse you know, comes in, knocks down the door. I live here now.
14. Why do you have this beer?
First off, that's hilarious. Second off, for a second, you started the story off with, I used to ride to school back and forth, and my brain went to, did she ride the horse to school? Because that would be the coolest 14-year-old on the planet.
Used to walk.
That's good. That's probably better, safer for you in the long run.
Except for the pervert who, you know, decided to expose himself on me when I was going to the horses one day.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Did the horse
very
kick him too?
Long stretch of road where it's very deserted.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to pull up, I'll never forget it, the blue Ford Falcon.
Yeah.
It's always a blue horse.
Expose it. And he kept saying, just look at me. Just look at me. And thank God I had the presence of mind to tell him, hey, you've seen one dick, you've seen them all.
Wow.
It just kept walking.
It's true, though. It's very true.
It's accurate.
And as I'm walking, I'm thinking, okay, which textbook in my arms is the heaviest one to throw at him?
Throw at this asshole. Usually biology. I was like, yeah. That was always the heavy one for me. Yeah. But yeah, that's the
sort of science textbook.
Yeah. I mean, so I was so driven with my passion with horses that when I saw that he had a passion, I wanted to support it.
That's
without
super cool.
Taking it away, without, you know, as I say, you know, my parents didn't support it. Well, they didn't block it either.
Right.
But I think if they had, you know, I've seen so many kids who decide they want horses and they're going to get into it. And they're like the girl who owned my horse, my first horse. Mm-hmm. Her parents gave her everything, so she didn't care about
it. Yeah, she didn't take care of it. She didn't value it.
She, yeah, you know. I earned it. And to this day, it still serves me well.
That's an incredibly important lesson. And by the way, I don't want to paint a picture that my parents didn't support my dreams. I just didn't have any when I was a child. I just really liked watching TV.
Your dreams was another Twinkie and sitting down.
That was it, man. It was. I always tell the story. My dream was pop my own popcorn, melt as much butter as I wanted over that, and then the 1-2 punch of X-Files and Briscoe County Jr. on a Friday night.
Briscoe, nice.
That's all I wanted to do.
I can definitely relate to that quite a bit because my dad like obviously saw that I was very passionate about not only drawing cartoons, but playing video games and being into music. He knew like, all right, Andy's going to do something creative with all the stuff that he's learned. And I remember him telling me like, look, you want to go to art school and that's going to be really expensive for you. And we're going to help out as much as we can. But I really want you to succeed because I fucking hate my job. Like he told me that. He was like, I hate what I do. I wish I could do anything else and still bring home enough money for the family. You know, like obviously your mom has a great job too, but he was like, I worked my ass off my whole life and I don't like what I do. Like it's so stressful. So please, if you can find something enjoyable to do and make a living out of it, please go do that. That was always like huge for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
someone
it's hard.
Recently just told me that too. You know, I wasn't happy at my last job. And she said to me, you need to do something with horses. It doesn't matter what, just do something with horses. That's when you are happiest. So now I work at a saddle shop. So I'm
very happy. Awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, that's always been, that was always my thing, right? Is like, I think I grew up in a household that was very like, I don't want to say like focused on money, but money was always there, right? Money was always talked about. It was always talked about like, we need to make sure we're making smart financial choices and we can't buy everything. And so I was always very much aware of that. And I think a lot of that obviously shaped who I am today and being, you know, sort of financially responsible and whatnot. But there is a small part of me that I think that killed a little bit, which was that I mean, going into college, even I was like, I'm not going to go into film studies. I'm not going to go into the arts. That's, you can't make a living there. And I was around a bunch of smart kids that were going to like real universities for computer science. So I just thought that was what you were supposed to do. And again, Lena Scarpino wasn't like, she was like, you have to be a doctor. She was never overbearing like that. But no one ever pulled me aside and was like, you know, you're really into film. Like, have you thought about doing that? And I don't know where that's supposed to happen. Or maybe they did. Again, I was a dumb kid. I didn't really pay attention to anything. If there was a box of See's candy in front of me, you could be telling me the world was ending. And I'd be like, sure, uh-huh. How many caramel patties are in that one?
Which one of these is a chocolate-covered cherry?
Yeah. I want that thing out of here. If I could wave the magic wand. I'm just so fascinated by it. I just think it's going to be so cool watching Greg and Jen sort of parent, as it has been with a lot of my other friends, because I think our generation, you know, learned from our parents. And I think, you know, I see how my parents used to communicate with their parents, and there was no communication. It was basically a one-sided conversation. And I think my generation specifically is the first one that really we could have those kind of a little bit more of a connection with our parents and have those conversations and see where that, you know, like have conversations about where, like my mom, for instance, like the choices she made and what she, you know, she regrets or doesn't regret and things like that. And so I think going forward, we can have those open lines with the kids now and just be like, yo, sky's the limit, man. You could take your phone out, start a YouTube channel at 3 and be a millionaire by 4.
You want to retire at 10? Yeah. Let's go.
You're going to have to rent Uncle Andy's house so we can have a studio there for all of your swag, you know?
Uncle Andy won't have a house.
Uncle Andy's going to probably live with Uncle Snowbike Mike at some point. It's going to be the party house.
One of the things I've noticed that we all do, and it's kind of sad, when you're a kid, you don't think, I can't do that.
Right.
you think, how can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as you get older, you think, oh, I can't do that. Instead of how can I make that happen?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I think that's something that I see getting lost every once in a while.
That was huge for me. Right. And that was something that I don't think I really, really, really learned until starting Kind of Funny with these guys, because I had up until that point sort of been brought up in a household where it was like, be very conservative of what you think you can accomplish. And it's not to say that I didn't accomplish good stuff. Like I got great grades in high school and got into a good college, but there was never a sense of, we're going to go do this crazy thing. And why? Because we want to, not because we should or because it makes sense, but because that is just going to be what's going to happen. And so like starting the company, I think that was the first step forward for me where I'm like, this doesn't make any sense what we're doing. Like we should stay at IGN. We have great healthcare at IGN and they're paying us. And for some stupid reason, I'm in charge of people. So like that ain't going to happen again. But doing something because we wanted to do it and taking that leap, I think I feel like you're right. I feel like that is a thing you have when you're a kid, and then that just gets beaten out of you when you become an adult. And I feel like that's one of the things I respect about Greg and Tim and pretty much everyone we work with, is that they never lost that sense of wonderment somehow of like, yeah, why shouldn't we do this fun thing, even though it might not work? Like, who cares? And I just got that. I had to relearn that skill as we go. And now I'm playing video games 4 hours a night.
It's to what you're talking about, and like I think what you did so well, right, was raising me with that idea that anything's possible. Yeah. Like you can do whatever you want to do, you can be whatever you want to be, and we're going to be there to help you do that. And you and Dad both were, and that's why that story always goes. I can only imagine, when I walked in with that Game Pro, and I was like, I know what I want to do with my life. It's going to be this, and like you're like, okay, and like God bless you,
we'll make it happen.
And you were like, I guess that's journalism, so you should go do that. Like we should get you on that path, and like the fact that you encouraged that, and like it was that. It was at the, fourth grade. It was the first time stepping up and saying something like that that I actually felt the passion for, and you saying you could. In the same way the comics were, right? Of like, I'm going to draw all these comics and I want to be in the newspaper. And you totally supported that and me writing in and stuff. And I remember when I got rejected by the Glen Ellyn News and like threw away the rejection letter, you're like, no, save this. You pulled it out of the trash. You were like, no, like this is not something to be ashamed of. Nope. Like, you know what I mean? Like this is like a motivator, and you're going to get tons of rejection like that in your life. And it's about keep going. And
Just like I remember you coming home, and I don't remember what teacher it was that got you your patent on Froggy.
Oh, yeah. I thought we did that. That was through a teacher?
Yeah, it was through a teacher.
Huh. I don't remember that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you still
and
have
I remember
that
thinking, my God, how old were you? And you would have a patent. Wasn't it a patent? A copyright.
Yeah, we had a copyright on a frog, right? Yeah. I have not renewed it, Nick. I don't know if I still
we could probably get in there. I got a guy. We could probably get in there.
It's open. It's public domain now. I already took care of it.
Oh, yeah. Good point. The copyrights, I think, last forever. I think patents expire, but I think you can keep recopywriting things. Otherwise, I would own Nike by now.
that's
a good brand. I mean, make a lot of money. Well, man, I lost my train of thought.
I'm on the copyright website now to see if I can search.
Can you get it? Yeah.
Completely forgotten about that.
I'll never forget the only time I ever had that conversation with a parent where I remember having a clear and concise, like, adult moment was I went to Catholic school all the way through third grade. So I went to kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. And my brother at that point, I think in third grade, he had hit eighth grade and was then going on to high school. And he decided to go to our public high school, which was where a lot of his friends were going. And so my mom gave me the choice. She was like, hey, we don't have to, there's no reason for me to come here. Your brother is going to have to start going across town. So we have a new elementary school opening up by us. Do you want to go to that? And I had all my friends were like in Catholic school, and I'll never forget. I was just like, yeah, I do want to do that. That sounds like something that I'd like to do. It sounds exciting. And like, it's closer and it's easier for you. I can walk there. Like, let's do this. And my mom was, to her credit, was like, okay, that's your choice. Yeah. And I'm like, then I had that one sinking moment after where I was like, did I just screw up my entire, oh, see, candy. Never mind. Doesn't matter. It's gone. It doesn't matter. Tweaky. Poof. Right.
Yeah. Right. On.
And I made all the friends, for a long time.
Frogger was a cool, that was already patent. That was that game where you crossed the road.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Frogger was pretty popular.
I wish I had a patent on Frogger. You know what I mean? They retired already.
He's dead brand now.
Yeah. We could bring it back. They always bring back Frogger every so often.
Didn't they just make a Frogger like 5 years ago? Wasn't like a Frogger for Xbox or something like that?
No, there's always one. There's always a new Frogger coming up. Jamie, what sort of plans do you have when we get little baby Miller popping out, baby Saint-Ange Miller? are you flying back out over here? Greg, are you
that
taking...
I'm leaving up to Jen and Greg.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to impose myself on them. But Greg knows that if I'm not invited out, he's going to hear about it.
Hell to pay.
Like, sure. If they need help, I'll gladly come out and spend time here to help, because I know bringing home even a good baby, it's for your first one, it's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember bringing Greg home. I'll never forget this. I was cool. Everything was fine. We came home with him. Mr. Miller left to get dinner the first night home. And in the time that he left, I made myself an absolute basket case, because I'm looking at this little baby thinking, oh my God, I'm with him for till he's 21. 21 yeah. years. What do I yeah. do with this kid?
You can nowadays. 16, they're out of the house. Get them out.
Well, if I knew he was going to leave as early as he did, yeah, that would help.
Oh, but, whatever.
But I bet
at 18 you were like, oh, this is sad. But my mom was beside herself.
I saw a little
post
the other day where they say, you know, you're expecting and you read all these books and you go through all what you're supposed to do during your pregnancy. And then they say, okay, now I'm home with the baby. What do I do? Mm-hmm. It's like nobody seems to prepare you about, okay, you're going home. What do you do when you get home with this kid, mm-hmm. other than feed him and change him, but you're alone with him, you know? Yeah. That's scary.
It's very, I mean, I'm like scared. I have anxiety right now, and I'm not even going to be in that situation.
I mean, yeah, I feel bad. Greg. Mr. Miller came home, like I said, with dinner, and I'm sitting there sobbing.
He's
like, what happened? Everything was fine.
I think back to, like, I'm 41 now. And I think back to days like when my parents would go out with their friends and they would make the big mistake, which is always a mistake, of leaving my brother to watch me. My brother, who's 5 years older than me.
Bad news bears.
It was always, my dad would always have to come home and fix something. And I'm not talking like, oh, you broke a lamp. One time we decided, I think I told the story like 2 weeks ago, but I'll tell it again because I bet Jamie will appreciate this. We decided to have a rubber band fight. Okay, we had these rubber band guns that you could cock back, you know, the ones cock it back, pull the trigger, you shoot six of them at the same time, right? Super fun. Obviously, no one was worried about their eyes. Nobody cared. but we ran out of rubber bands at a certain point. Of course, we're doing this in the dark. Like, it's dark. You can't see anything. We're just trying to shoot each other blindly in the dark. So I get the genius idea to take this bucket of Legos that we have. And just, we had forts. No, and I just hurled it. And I just heard it go, and not fall. And I heard my brother go, oh, no. And the light went on, and it was sticking into the wall. There was about this big of a just hole that it had wedged through the – oh, it was drywall. It was just gone, just right through the sheetrock. And my brother's like, don't worry. Don't freak out. We can fix this. So by the time my dad came home, it looked like the wall had just grown like a blister, because we were just like trying to lather it up and trying to make it. And we had no idea what the hell we were doing. And my dad just kind of laughed at us and was like –
you idiots.
Just, you're so stupid. You're so dumb. And how did you think you were going to hide that? But hey, we fixed it.
Yeah, the kid, like, I always think about, because I had the same situation, Nick. My brother's 5 years older than me. So when my brother was old enough, my parents would just kind of let us be. And it'd be, you know, I don't know, whether it's a Christmas party at my dad's work that my mom goes, you know, over there with, or my parents would go to Austin, Texas to visit family for Thanksgiving, but maybe my brother and I stay back. So, of course, we do a bunch of dumb shit because we're kids. And I'll never forget trying to keep a balloon up in the air, playing that stupid game. Don't let the balloon hit the ground. You know, do everything you can to keep it up in the air. And I am about the same height as my like the kitchen sort of furniture. Not furniture, but, you know, the countertop, right? And I'm going to hit the balloon with my head because that's the rules we're using.
Yep.
Boom. Hit my nose right against the counter. And it's just like stream of blood down my whole face and down my shirt. And then my brother is just, of course, freaking out. Like, don't tell mom and dad. Don't tell mom and dad. And there's always those moments. Don't tell mom and dad. Yeah. And
don't tell mom and dad. You're gushing blood all over your shirt. Mom will never know.
She'll never know.
My mom, of course, I grew up in Elena Scarpino's house. Elena Scarpino used to count the eggs before she left. Why did she count the eggs, Jamie? Great question. It's because we liked to egg people's houses.
Yeah.
And so she would count the eggs, and then she would come home and she'd be like, I know you didn't make eggs. And we're like, damn it. How does she keep knowing that we're egging people's houses? We never could figure it out. She also knew we had parties, and we could never figure out why she, like, how she knew we were drinking alcohol. And this is how dumb we were when we were kids. It didn't occur to us until we were in our 20s. I finally went out and I threw the trash out, and I was like, oh. We threw the bottles out in the trash. And so the next time she comes out to throw the bottles, she's like, why are there 30 beer bottles in here that have been drunk? We were stupid, you know, but she gave us a little bit.
What did I try to get away with that you caught me on?
Which time?
I mean, these stories, what does it remind you of? I mean, people wrote in.
You
I
don't going to Grandma Miller's condo.
I told you about that, though. I told you we were going to throw a party there. Yes. You remember that, yeah.
But then when I was approached at work by the police.
But you remember that was because somebody was with me at school. That wasn't me actually doing
That's
it.
That's right. That's what I said. No. That was what I liked. Even when Greg did things wrong. Well, I don't say wrong. He told me he was going to do things on the edge. And I think the reason being is because I told him I'm going to find out anyway.
Yeah, that was my thing too.
Yeah, so talk to me about it so I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I can intercede if I need to.
See, I figured there was a level of trust too. Because actually, with my brother and my mom, because he was older and he was the first one to put her through hell. I think that was different. By the time she got to me, she was like, listen, I know the score.
Yeah.
Just whatever you're going to do, make sure no one gets hurt and you do it responsibly. And if you can, do it at home so you don't have to travel.
Right.
And so there was a moment where I remember distinctly where she was like, listen, I'm not going to tell you guys. I'm going to tell you guys not to throw a party. But if you have people over, just don't let them leave. Don't let them drive home. Yeah. Don't let them do whatever. Like, tell people to stay here, which ended up resulting in being even more fun for us because then it was like a 3-day party where everyone just spent the night with our pizzas and stuff like that.
I used to tell him that too.
Yeah. And I think that's a much better way than, I mean, I'm not a parent, so take it for what it's worth, but that's a much better way to like, because they're going to do it. You're right. Like, kids are going to, they're going to experiment. They're going to have fun. So, you know, give them a little adult responsibility and say, be responsible for it and you're fine. And thankfully, no one was ever severely hurt.
Like, you know, being able to tell you that was, you know,
yeah,
it was obviously terrifying, but it was that idea of like you had always stressed to me that you knew we were going to get into shenanigans. Everybody's been a teenager.
Because we've all done it.
That goes. Exactly. So what is that actually going to look like and what can it be? And when throwing parties at Grandma Miller's condo or whatever, right? Like, it was the safer way to do that then.
And I think I really realized how well that paid off. The night that you guys came home and Poe woke me up because he got his first ticket.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll always remember that. It was like 2:00 in the morning and I get a knock on my bedroom door. Mrs. Miller, can I talk to you? Yeah, I'll be right out. And I remember telling you guys that I don't care what time of the day or night it is. Call me, whatever. I won't question it. I'll come get you and whatever. We'll work out whatever.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
And Poe came and it was a stupid ticket. I agree. He shouldn't have gotten the ticket. But he was so worried about he wanted to talk to me before he went home and talked to his parents. How does he handle it? Because he figured his parents are going to flip out. And I felt really good because he knew I wasn't going to flip out. We were going to sit there and hash it out and figure out how to go about it, just like with their tattoos.
Sure. Yeah. Well, after that senior trip. Yeah.
Two of them came home with tattoos. And I remember Greg calling me up going, Mom, you got to get here. Their mothers are freaking out. We need to. And I remember it was Poe's mom supposedly was freaking out when I got there. And he got a little tattoo on his ankle. And I remember coming and going, okay, so what stupid thing did you do to him? Yeah. And he's looking at me like, you're supposed to be helping me. And he shows me his tattoo on his ankle. I said, you cover it with a sock. You don't have to worry about it. His mom immediately calmed down.
Yeah. It's like a teardrop, right? We're like, oh, that's going to be you got a face tattoo. That's going
to
be.
We murdered someone in Florida, and this is what it needed to be. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I think of all the things and all the trouble all of them could have gotten into, they were really all very well behaved. And so, you have to choose your battles with your kids. I remember people freaking out when he dyed his hair blue. Mm-hmm. The only reason I freaked out is because they don't do it while I'm at work. He did, and it turned green. So then we had to go get it corrected.
It was blonde with green spots. Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing. We tried to use all in one.
Yeah.
And then I went to a job interview. Did not work out. Did not get
it. Did you get a job? He didn't get hired.
No, it was also selling knives door to door. Like, it's one of those stupid things. Yeah, it's one of those stupid things that, you know, you get a teenager to do because, like, whatever. And I didn't want to, like, a real job that was good enough. Go sell things door to door. Didn't work on it.
No, you wound up working at the pet shop instead, right?
Exactly, Petland. This would have been after Petland because this is after I graduated.
I was wondering where on the timeline.
Yeah, no, this would have been after Petland, after Walmart. This was actually, so I graduated high school, which meant that that was the half-assed shot I did at a job. And then if you remember, what I did is I didn't get it. And I was like, oh, shucks. And I was like, listen, I'm going to college in 3 months or whatever. I'd really like to not get a job this summer and instead work on the screenplay. And you were like, all right. Like, you're not defeated at all. It was another support the dream thing. Because it was like, all right, like, that's.
I understood, too, that it was your last before going, you're going to get in the real world and have to have a job anyway.
Yeah. And it was that thing I remember, I think it was Poe's mom, where I said that, and she, and again, Poe's mom's great, for the record. This is,
yeah, she is.
Two things now where like, Poe's mom wasn't like my mom, but it just wasn't like my mom. And it was, I remember
that between you and Poe, you tortured your poor mother. So they must be saints. They're probably saints at this point.
And so, yeah, I remember at some, I don't know, barbecue or whatever, where she was like, what are you doing this summer, Greg? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just working on the screenplay for a movie. And I remember her telling me, like, you're all right with this. Like, not in a weird way, but in a, like, you're all right. And you're like, yeah, like, you know, he's really doing it. And I remember I had page goals and I wrote a whole bunch. I did like 30 pages not knowing how to write a movie or whatever, mm-hmm. like going off of the Pulp Fiction book I had, right? Of like, this is how Tarantino wrote it, so this is how I'll do this thing.
That's and again, I think starts looking, the end.
You know, you look back at what you did, and I've worked since I was 14. I didn't want him to have to do that if he didn't have to.
Right.
Sure. You know,
and again, I was working in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what I was doing at 14, well, not the cashiering thing. That my dad got me that the night I told him I bought a horse, but
he got you a job.
I often joke that when I told him I had a horse, I didn't know my dad could jump that high off the couch. Yeah. And he jumped off the couch and I got one of those, I'm not paying one red cent to that horse, young lady. You're getting a job. And the next day he went up to the IGA food liner and got me a cashiering job. So I used to walk from school to the horses. I had to take care of six horses. My dad would pick me up. I had to work at IGA from 6 to 9 at night. And on Saturdays, I had to be at the barn at 8 a.m. to clean stalls. And the hardest part about the 8 a.m. on Saturday was my dad liked to sleep in, and I was 14. I couldn't drive.
Oh.
So it was always the battle with my father to get me there, and my mom didn't drive.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah. Yeah, I was fortunate. My mom, I worked a little bit throughout high school, my senior year, but my parents, I always had extracurricular activities like band and theater and things like that. And they were super supportive of that. But I also like wasn't costing them any money. It was basically just
it was just the sunk cost.
Yeah, I had no life. I wasn't like, hey, I'm going to Woodstock too. Like I need, you know, a few $100. I was just like, I'm gonna go play music and then come home and watch TV. So that was pretty good. But there was a corner turned though when I got into college. My mom was like, hey, you gotta get a job. You have to be gainfully employed now from here on out. And I fought it so hard. I was like, I did all the varying degrees of like, you know, anger, depression, you know, all that.
I finally accepted it.
And I'll remember, man, this is me. I couldn't make, I think I had a 9 a.m. Italian class and I ended up getting a C in it because I just could not make that class. I could not get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to literally save my life. And I'll never forget the first job I got in college because I had to, because my mom was like, listen, we've supported you up to this point. Like you've got to start taking responsibility for your bills. And like, you want a phone, you got to pay for that phone. Like all these amenities, we can't pay for these anymore. And so I got a job where I worked at a Jumpa Java, I think it was, on campus. I had to be there, Andy, at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And I don't think I was ever late. And to the point where like all the other kids hated it so much, they were late. And then I started getting like more responsibility. And I'm like, this is the opposite of what I want. I don't want more responsibility. I want to be the guy that's late and just like barely skating by.
You're really good at this, kid. Like,
I'm like, no.
I hate this.
By virtue of just being the one kid that shows up. That was it. I was better.
Greg, what did you put in assets here?
I'll be right back.
What I put in assets here, Kevin, if you want to pull it up, is that I...
Yes, or should we look at it after the ad read?
Oh, I was going to do it and then go to the ad read. So let's do it and then go to the ad read. Is that okay? All right? All right. So, Kevin, if you can pull this up, it turns out, in fact, yes, I do still have the copyright on my Frog comic strip. It was registered March 31st, 1997, citing the date of creation of this comic strip, 1996. And I have my little Miller Gregory James, 1983, to whenever I die. I still have my... So if anybody tries to rip off my Frog comic, especially now that I've been circulating the articles of how much I was banging out classics, ladies and gentlemen. I was pumping out classics in every class.
I love when you click into it, it says title, Frog, description, comic strip.
I was very creative with it, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, so we can bring this back.
Sure. Yeah, so actually, you know what? Andy.
But should we?
Kevin, this is Andy. A big business opportunity for us. Go ahead, Greg. We can t-shirts. Think of the toys.
You raise a great point here.
About
Yeah, you raise a great point about this, actually, of bringing it back and what when doing this thing. On the Q&A right now, of course, patreon.com/kindoffunny. If you give us just a buck, you get the Q&A with one of us each and every month. And this month, it's two Q&As because you asked so many great questions. And I went for an hour already on part one. One of them said, you know, hey, the, you know, these articles are getting so much play lately. You should show the comics. You should do a thing where you show the guys the comics and do it. And now it's happening. We just said that. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen kind of thing. That's an episode. That can be this episode. You know what I mean?
I think I have one of your comic books.
Right? I still have that giant blue tub in there. Not far at all. Remember that tub I showed you the one time? Yeah. I'll go grab it. Andy talked. Oh, hold on. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into the blue tub of Greg's comics and shit like that. So stuff like that. But before then, I want to remind you, of course, of patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you could be watching live like Cameron Kennedy and Torbenock, Corey Scott.
He's doing the old man thing.
I'm not even doing the dad thing. I'm like, I can't even tell what's happening. You could ask questions. You could be part of the show. You could have a great time. You could get the post show we do. You could, if you're over on at any of these levels for any of the things I just said on Patreon, you could get the Q&A I was talking about. But of course, more importantly for all of this, you could get the show ad free. But guess what, Jack? You didn't go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. So let me tell you about our sponsors. We switch off me and Tim, and I'm not sure who it was this week. It's me. Here I come in a different place without my mom. This podcast is brought to you by Babbel. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. I thought I could take French 3, and my teacher was like, you're really not committed enough to French to take French 3. You shouldn't try. And I was like, I got this. And I took French 3 and I dropped it within a week. And it was because I was getting my butt kicked and I wasn't understanding it. But now, thanks to Babbel, the number one selling language learning app, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, hey, ding, 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 that's me, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it a perfect way to learn a new language on the go. I have the app. I have started using it. I'm trying to get better to talk to my French-Canadian wife, whose first language is French and didn't learn English till way later in her life. And I'm trying to be a better husband so I can talk to my in-laws. And Babbel's helping. Babbel designs their courses with practical, real-world conversations in mind. Things you'll get to use in everyday life. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. I could probably use it for English as well. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code MORNING. That's BABBEL.com. Code MORNING for an extra 3 months free. Babbel, language for life. All right.
All right, Nick.
I'm going into the blue tub. All right.
Okay.
I'm going to get the blue tub, actually.
He's going to the blue tub because the link that was brought up when you went to the restroom, Nick.
Yes.
You can go ahead, Greg. I'm just going
to... Well, hold on. Actually, no, because there's something else here I can do, Kevin, if you can go back to me. Something we're going to do here that has never been revealed before on camera, all right? So what I'm going to do is...
Is the baby born?
No, Nick knows what I'm about to show. Sorry for the terrible camera. Yeah, you'll get a better one later. But what I did, ladies and gentlemen, is I fulfilled a lifelong dream here.
It's going to be...
My own devices down here.
It's going to be hard to focus on this.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Mom's spinning the mic. Great job. Jen left me on my own devices, and I said, what do you want to do with this closet in my studio? And she said, you can do whatever you want with it. So I made just a Ghostbusters closet.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
All of this, Andy, is my proton packs. I don't know if you can see my suits here. Hold on.
This kid is going to come out and want to be a lawyer. He's just going to want to...
Ghostbusters suits. I have all the suits here.
Get away from all this.
All the props. I got my backup proton packs. I got the ones from the old Spirit Halloween. I got the prop stuff. That's all there. I got my own Ghostbuster closet, everybody.
Greg is going to be like, little Nick Miller. Let's go out in our proton packs. He's going to be like, Dad, I have a debate class later. Yeah. I have biology. Like, I need to be studying, you know. And it's like, no, come on, let's do this. And I think you're right. I think he may reject all the stuff that Greg is trying to put.
He's definitely going to. This kid's going to watch like C-SPAN UN like meetings.
That's like one of his biggest fears. That's like one of his biggest fears. Period.
No, the kid's going to grow up. He's brought it up before.
Talk to mom. I got to pull out the tub. It's real heavy.
Okay.
So he's bringing out the comic strips right now, Nick, because we looked at the copyright. We opened up the link.
There's the copyright.
And when you click into the copyright. It says title, frog. Description, comic strip. Copyright claimant, Gregory James Miller, 1983. Date of creation, 1996.
Yeah.
So we have the copyright still to this comic called Frog, which I thought was Froggy or something like that. But I'm thinking about continuing this, Nick. Where can we bring this back? We have the copyright on it. We can make new comics. We can make it a cartoon. We can make toys. We can make shirts. Think of all the, I mean, it's a cash cow, right?
Well, Greg, I just copyrighted it for Kind of Funny.
You're getting some of this fraud money, Nick? You ain't getting nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Andy, yeah. If I ain't getting the nitro, if I ain't getting a cut of the nitro rifle merch, all right, trust me,
that's true.
And you know, now that I think of it, it's like the frog money would just go to Kind of Funny, but I'd be the one making the shirts anyway. So yeah, I don't know why
really
I'm making
just
more work for myself.
For a lot more work, Andy. But the thing I want to point out though is that, you know, you've got other mascots who generally have more of an identity than just frog. So that might be the first thing, like I said. Working against us here.
Well, again, it's the Frog comic strip, so you got a lot of stuff there. All right, you got a lot of stuff happening there. All right, so first things first here, as we go in, right? You've seen it for sure. Hold on, that's not the right one. You've seen it for sure in things I've shared before, right?
Sure.
But to Andy's point here of like, man, maybe the kid will just resent it. You bet your ass that when this kid is old enough, he's wearing my original Ghostbusters jumpsuit. The one and only Jamie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is like, what, 1986, all right? Yeah. They aren't selling high-quality Ghostbusters gear. You all take it for granted. You walk into your Spirit Halloween, you walk into your Hot Topic, they're not thinking about, oh, man, look, it's a Slimer keychain, and it's a Ghostbusters jacket that's amazing and the coolest thing on Earth. They're like, oh, whatever. They take it for granted. Back in the day, your mom had to go to Joann's Fabrics or whatever the hell it was called back then. Go get the fabric, get a thing, print it out, or not print it, cut it out. Sew it. Then, again, and this isn't an insult, Mom. I hope you know.
Oh, I know.
I would never describe my mother like an Andy Cortez, gifted with artistic talent. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying you're not. But look at how good that No Ghost logo look. Again, I mean, like,
it looks fantastic.
Keep it there. Keep it there. Hold on. There.
Wow.
Like, Greg, right, to be honest, like, to be clear, this at no point looked like a homemade child Ghostbusters jumps. It just looked like something you purchased and is...
And then you say, wow, that's awesome. That was a lot of work for her. You're goddamn right she did it for Ghostbusters 2 as well. So, you know what I mean? And then again, just free. She's freehanding these No Ghost logos and killing it.
Those are really good.
Draw that. Yeah. I'm obsessed with Ghostbusters. I couldn't do that.
You
might say, Greg, why does it say Egon and not Spengler?
Yeah.
I was a dumb kid. I'm sorry. You know, I know that's what I wanted. I wanted it to say Egon. I didn't want it to say Spengler. It's on me.
I mean, that's Spengler is the obvious choice, right? Venkman, the obvious choice.
Then you might. Nick, Andy wants to try to beat me to it. There you go. There's the first piece of Greg Miller merch there ever was. Wow. Frog t-shirt, ladies and gentlemen. An XL. I was rocking an XL at 10. The little fat ball of kid I was.
Like, at that point, it's just a skirt. You can put a belt around it and take it out at night.
13-year-old Greg Miller wearing the same size shirt 38-year-old Greg Miller would wear.
No way. No, that's going to be a child's XL. That's a child's XL.
Andy, that's a real man XL. That is an adult man XL.
That is a real man's XL.
How?
Corey Scott says, I'll buy that for $20. This is priceless, sir.
But you can buy a replica of it.
For the museum.
13-year-old Greg Miller is... 6 foot.
I mean,
one.
He was probably 6 feet tall.
190.
Good there you Lord. Go. You got all the first of many BYWF tapes you'd find in here. You know what
I
mean?
I love this. Oh, I gotta give you. I gotta give you the.
Isn't that a great name for a pay per view? We call the pay per view Y2 Chaos.
That's great. Yeah.
That's amazing. Great. I'm glad you saw that, Kevac. I didn't see that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Here you go. On tape 8, you have Deathmatch Mania 2000. Which is another pay-per-view we threw for ourselves there.
How much planning was going into these?
Into the BYWFs?
Yeah.
Oh my God, so much planning. We like, had the storylines. We had the thing. Yeah.
We got to get these tapes digitized, man. We got to do
the same amount of planning.
I do. I have it. Greg and I talked about it. Then I dropped the ball on it.
You shouldn't be surprised because anytime that we've ever done one of these pay-per-view things, we haven't done it in a long time, granted, we should get back to it. It's just we have 40 million shows to do. But when there's a pay-per-view tournament or a battle for the belt and we're kind of scrambling and maybe worried, Greg is like, I'm on it. I've got.
And that's the thing. Again, you want, yeah. Nick, you're like, how much did you guys think this out? I'd like to introduce you to the BIWF Spiral Notebook.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. Now, it says it on it.
Yeah, exactly. But what the BYWF Spiral Notebook does is have a listing, match by match, along with results for every tape in there. Every tape in there is cataloged, chronicled, and turned to, well, this is the results. You know what I mean? This I'm not talking about what's happening in the storylines or whatever. On top of that, Jason, who was one of the guys who ran it with me, right? He went to a different school eventually, and so he shared the tapes with his friend Paul, and Paul would review them. Extensively, Paul would go through and review the matches and talk about what's happening here. So yeah, you have it down here, breakdown of everything. I'm trying to find where I come here. Yeah,
you had show, your own press.
Gruesome Greggy interview. Awesome promo cut by Greg here as he shows pure enthusiasm for his work. It's great to see a guy that enjoys what he's doing. He had a great line when he said, "Quote: I feel no pain," and hit himself in the head with a trash can. Hilarious. Kept my attention and wasn't filled with nonsense bullshit like Hogan's interviews are.
Wow. Damn, he compared right you to Hogan?
Yeah.
At the top of your game at a young age.
Here's a match. Here's his review of this is the first BYWF tape, by the way. All right. So we will get better at this, of course, in terms of our wrestling stuff here, right? But match number one, Fabulous Gula, which was Poe, of course, before Poe changed his wrestling ring name to Poe, versus me, Y2G. Since I don't know how to spell his name, I'll call him FG for Fabulous Gula. I see a car driving down the road. I see a car driving down the road and parking in the driveway. Fabulous Gula gets out of the car. He starts doing some things to Y2G, which is what I was going by. I think it's brawling. Whatever it is, he keeps doing it. But Y2G puts Fabulous Gula back on the defensive as he works the leg of Fabulous Gula. Y2G isn't really working the leg of Fabulous Gula. Still working the leg. He executes a Russian leg sweep for a two count. Then this man watched our backyard wrestling tapes and rather than participate, just wrote not even a review as much as this is
just a synopsis.
Play by play.
Yeah. That is a play by play. What's happening?
He gives us
kind of funny.
He gives us two and a half stars, and he says this match gets an E for effort. But it was entertaining. There is nothing more I can't stand than a wrestler who isn't enthused. It didn't seem like Fabulous Gula wanted to be there, and the announcers even said so, which is 100% true. Poe did not have the backyard wrestling fascination we did. We kind of forced him to do it. Both wrestlers look promising, but they need to work on the flow of their matches. Worth a look. Which I'll take for our first time.
I'm sorry. I must have dazed out or something happened with my brain where you said that Poe was the Fabulous Gula. So that was like a great little twist for me that Poe was the one who was unenthused. That's great.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Poe didn't want to be there. We forced him to be there.
So. That's fantastic. Everybody always has that friend in their group that doesn't want to do that thing. Like we all want to start a band, and there's that one person that's like, I do not do music. I'm sorry.
You remember that? I was going to say, you remember that? In high school, or I guess junior high, all my friends started getting into music or whatever, and I still wanted to hang out. And so I was like, well, what do you guys need? They're like a drummer. And I was like, all right. So I saved up my money.
Yeah.
Bought a drum kit.
Complete drum set. It was beautiful.
Came with a free didgeridoo. This guy was making didgeridoos too. So I had that, of course.
They go really well together, by the way. You play drums and didgeridoos.
Totally.
That's how Phil Collins used to do it.
Then I sat down with this drum set. Nick, do I have rhythm?
Unfortunately, Greg, that is not one of the gifts you were graced with.
And I sat down to this drum set. And I called even the music shops. And I was like, can I get drum kit lessons? And they're like, you do not start learning drums on a drum kit. Like,
yeah,
you need to start with a snare drum. Yeah. And I was like, that seems like not enough work. And then I just sat there and never got used to it.
Yeah, Jamie, there's that moment for one of the Kind of Funny Live events where we went up as the boy band and we all danced and sang. And Greg was supposed to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Greg had a lot of stuff happening anyway at that time that he had to worry about. And he walked up to us during the rehearsal and kind of just looked at all of us doing the dances and was like, you all don't need me, right? And we were like, no, you can leave. We know you don't want to do this.
It stems from Kind of Funny Live 2, right? Where we did the aerobics intro and Nick stressed so hard teaching it to us and I couldn't do it and he thought I was fucking with him and then he saw the desperation in my eyes and was like, you know what, bud, you just do what you can do.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I had my wife choreograph it. I was like, D, can you come out watch this and like kind of give us a couple moves that you know will be easy to do? And she taught it to me over the course of a couple hours, and then I taught it to the rest of the guys, and I'll never forget, Greg did this thing where like most of the time when he's like, if he wants to express like anger, but he's still, you know, he's still having a fun time or whatever, he'll do it in a certain way. Gonna go over with it. And this one, he just did the sunken shoulder thing where he kind of like sunk his shoulders down and looked at me. And I was like, okay, you know what, Greg, take a break. You're going to improv this. And then I'll never forget. Yeah. You came for the first rehearsal for the boy band thing and you looked at it and you're like, he just did that.
You guys are really doing something here. I can't be a part of this.
I was like, Greg, we're good, man. Don't even worry about it. That was before Tim told me he couldn't sing. That was a fun revelation as well. But we pushed through that.
Yeah. Do you remember that, now, Nick? I was going to say, you kept clapping to keep the tempo. And because Greg kept messing up, you kept clapping louder. And by the end of it, it was the loudest clapping I've ever heard.
That was like Mr. Holland's opus where he's hitting the kid in the football helmet trying to keep him on beat and he just can't do it.
I was like this close from grabbing drumsticks like we used to when we were marching band, just clicking, click, clack, clack, clack.
Now there's a lot in the blue memory box here. Lots of stuff to go through.
The blue memory box. I love this.
The stuff I've kept, you know, throughout the years. There's a lot of articles in there. This one just came up. I appreciate quite a bit. What you're looking at here, ladies and gentlemen, is me and my friend Goose in college outside throwing an antler party. Of course, that's a beer in my hand. And what Stripes is the car we're in. That is the free ride about town when you're drunk. Mizzou students at the time, I'm not sure if it still exists. Wait. You could call this number and they'd come pick you up so you didn't drive drunk or anything. And so our friend was driving by doing Stripes, doing a great service to the Mizzou community, but he saw us and stopped and it was like, hey, and I was like, can I get a photo of me wasted behind the wheel of the Stripes car? Smart. And he's like, yeah, I don't see why not. And like, that's a bad idea. That was a bad idea on my part. A cop could roll by and been like, you're under arrest. I'm like, I live here, officer. He's like, I don't care. This is before people were like, you know what, this is gonna go up on Facebook for everyone to see what this will be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that kid,
and according to Madeline Stanley,
everywhere.
Stripes is still a thing, Greg. So everybody support Stripes and don't do what I did for this amazing photo.
That's amazing.
It's still a thing, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, no, Nick.
What do you got? What do you got for me?
Oh, no. What I got is I didn't even realize I kept any of these. As I've said many a time on this thing, I once went to Washington, D.C. to work for a newsletter company. I wrote for Car Dealer Insider.
That's amazing.
Here is one of my newsletters for Car Dealer Insider. I don't even know. Do we have bylines on this stuff? I don't think we have bylines on these. No, yeah, no bylines. I just made content for this crap and then put it up for a summer.
Did you know? Oh. Did you know what you were talking about?
No, Andy, fuck no. I didn't. Mainly what it was.
Jamie says no immediately.
Oh, God, no. And what I learned, of course, is the fact I will never buy from a real car dealership. The whole thing is such a scam.
They
wrote an article.
Over.
I don't think this is it. I wrote an article about a new script a guy had, and it was literally like, all right, let me talk to my manager. And it's like, well, let the customer wait for 10 minutes, and then you come back and say yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it's total bullshit.
I remember when he told me he was going to be writing for the car dealer. I told him he ought to call his father. His father could give him lots of information on the cars.
Just mention the word engine. Just mention tires.
Oh, like, you got a good amount of liters in that engine. You got a lot of horsepower behind that four-cylinder.
Now here, these aren't the comic strips we were looking for yet. We have to go deeper for that, right? This is as you wanted to get into it. But I wrote in college for two semesters with years in between them. I did a comic strip for Mizzou, for the Maneater at Mizzou, called The Adventures of Gary and Quinn. And it was Quinn Snyder, the basketball coach, and Gary Pinkle, the football coach, and the shenanigans they'd get up to, which was, of course, incredibly insulting to all sorts of people. But you can see my art style here. You can see how the frog evolved. You know what I mean? The frog evolved.
It was good. I had a very clear thing.
Yeah, that's the big eyes were a big part of it. You know what I mean?
That's like the quintessential sort of Greg Miller style. You know?
Yeah,
like
that's
when
how
people
you know.
Look back, they say like... When people look back at the comments, they go like, oh, that's a Gary Larson right there. Oh, that's a Greg Miller, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Andy, of course, the big eyes were a big part of my style, but so were hiding the bodies behind newspapers so that they could just sit there and say what I wanted, but I didn't have to actually have any artistic talent to draw the entire
body. Yeah, you have to articulate
them. That's something that you can
see
started in the Frog comics
that
some people did call out.
That's just a smart thing to do.
Yeah, oh, man, that's why like all of the 2D animations I did in college were just chest up. Like, I don't want to draw people walking. I want to draw people just talking to each other and animate them that way because I don't want to – making them walk is way too much work, way too much work.
Now, Andy, I know you like to think you're pretty good on the basketball court, all right? But how many points could you put up against this DPL champion at St. Pat's. You kidding me right here? They called him the wall. He didn't move and didn't run.
Kevin, if Greg told me that he is 18 in that photo, I'd believe it.
Yeah. That is a man.
Because
that's
Jamie,
fifth
we
grade all, right there, guys. That's fifth grade, Greg. Right.
We
again,
always mention.
Do I need to remind you of the Frog XL shirt that I would still wear to this day as my size?
That's
what
amazing.
I was wearing in 1996.
We always mention that one photo of you that you always post whenever you know maybe you go back photo. Home.
Yeah, the one where and you look like everyone's lawyer.
Yeah, and I'm in the Superman tie.
Yeah. That's all. But we're always so surprised by that photo because. We always think that you're 10 years old in that photo. And Greg is like, no, I was 17 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But it's just, it's something about that young baby face that even if the face looks like that, the body was still expanding.
It's very
conflicting. Rate. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it right there. Hey, if you want me to handle your divorce, call 1-800 Greg Miller. That's like a drunk driving instructor, or like not instructor,
sure,
lawyer right there.
Were you hit by an ambulance? Follow me and I can do this and stuff.
Personal injury lawyer.
I want you to know, this is, again, my most cherished memory box of yearbooks and tapes and things, but also, why not? A signed photo of the Super Friends from the Super Powers collection of toys we were just talking about. You know, why not?
That's cool. That's probably worth nothing.
Who signed it?
No, it's just printed that way.
Not actually worth anything.
That was valuable.
Here, I got, this is my certificate of appreciation for being in the 1990 4th of July parade. 1990 4th of July, I was in the parade. This is when I was the poppy boy or whatever. Is that right? That checkout?
Probably.
You see, it's signed by my mother. My mother signed it, treasurer, parade chairman.
Oh,
there you go. The Milton Township Democratic Organization, 4th of
July.
She
verified it. That's good.
I should probably frame that and get it up in here, you know?
Show it to your kid one day.
I feel like a lot of these things need to go up on the walls. I don't even think you have to ask Jen. I think you could just do it up in the house.
There's a bunch of homecoming and like prom photos in here. I don't feel like ruining any of my former dates' lives by putting those on blast.
I think you need to change your Ghostbusters room into just the History of Greg room that you kind of keep secret away from everybody, but then one day when the kid is old enough, you're like, let me tell you about your father right
this
here.
This is where you not go
here.
To get punished. I'm gonna go read my dates. Achievements.
But just because, of course, I don't want to put anybody on blast. But now, Mom can't even do it. Nicholas Scarpino.
Yeah, let me see.
How much was this high school freshman version of Greg Miller getting laid, you think?
Oh my God.
No way. There. You're a high schooler there.
I'm a high school freshman there, buddy. I think if I'm looking, I got those transition lenses on. I'm looking.
Wait, was this like a formal that you were on? Is that a date?
Yeah, this is like a winter Christmas formal or whatever. Christmas
and you
dance,
thought,
whatever it was.
Yeah, that was the look you went with on
Santa
that one, huh?
First,
she's in an evening gown and you're just like, I'm going to be me. I'm just gonna
hey,
do me.
First off, that was probably a power sweater, all right? Arturo says, why are the sleeves so long? You know, that was the style. That was the style.
It was the 90s. We didn't know.
It's just so bizarre because, like, okay, first off, I'm going to give you a pass because you're 14 right there, right?
That's
if you
would have
said you were 17 or 18, I would have said no chance in hell. But it really is, like, I can tell you're about 5'9 there, 5'10, right?
Sure, probably.
But you just have the face of a 10-year-old. It's so weird looking. It's really bizarre, Greg. You got the beard now, luckily.
Right? That's what the beard's all about.
Yeah.
Keeping this going. Now, I know what you're saying, audio listeners. Greg doesn't care about us. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
But we open
Pandora's box of content here.
We open Pandora's blue box of memories.
Not embarrassing at all, but just, hey, my first ever byline on 1UP when they published my little thing about Superman 64. Not paid, of course. Just content I made for them. No big deal. Don't worry about it, Nick.
Awesome.
Don't worry about it, Nick.
What was that?
Finally, here we go.
Was that an M. Night Shyamalan ad above that?
Yeah, for the Village.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. The Village comes out July 30th.
It turns out Greg just had printed it out from yahoo.com or wherever it was.
Mm. Yeah, why didn't you? No, I print it out from 1UP.com.
Yeah, 1UP.com. That's what it is.
Okay, hold on. So here you go. These are the much sought after by the audience, Greg's comics. This is the one we're being profiled. Back in the articles I've put up or whatever. So there's
Greg's
comic
Greg's
one.
Comics.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, and then of course Greg's comics too. You know.
Yeah, not a lot of thought put in.
We wanted
names.
People to. Hey, you know what? Why complicate it, Nick? Why complicate it? Get it
hey,
out
wait,
there.
Hey, Greg, what was that one called about the frog?
Frog.
Frog. I'm sorry. Here's one of the thrilling adventures of Frog.
What's that comic about the frog? Man. That from it's one of Greg's comics. Oh yeah, Greg's Comics presents Frog.
Frog. See, this is what I love about you. I would have lamented about the name for a long time and never gotten it done. And you just said Greg's Comics Frog's done. What kind of character? With specifics?
Here we go. Here, if you don't mind, I'm going to read you. I guess what do you call the letter at the end of a book?
The postscript, not postscript, epilogue. No.
Yeah, but it's not like that. It's just like it's basically. I know, whatever. Here's my letter at the end of Greg's Comics too. I've not read. I have not read this in 3 decades. That's it. Greg's Comics 2 is all over. Thank you for reading and or buying this book. I hope you enjoyed it because I enjoyed writing it and drawing it. I'm dedicating this book to Mrs. Seaman and Mrs. Wick because they both helped me by pushing for my artwork. This spiral was made in the time frame of January 1997 to early April 1997. This is probably the last spiral I will sell you at St. Petronell, so I hope you enjoyed it. As if I'm dying. Yeah, your friend and artist, ominous. Greg Miller.
Wow.
God damn.
Did you have any buyers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Andy, I made money off this. Big time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, all right?
I got in trouble for it, too.
No, that was the newspaper. The newspaper I got in trouble for.
That was the end. Remember,
it shows correctly. That was a big problem.
That's because you were talking trash about the teachers, right? Weren't you like kind of.
We talked trash about the
cheerleader.
No, that was high school when I got in trouble. Oh. Keeping it straight. Keep it straight, Kennedy, for all the times your son got in trouble for creating content. All right? We're not done. Strap in. You got more years of this. It's kind of funny.
Wait, so how much were you selling these books for?
Oh, man. The newspapers I would sell for 5 or 10 cents, I remember. And then these books were maybe $5. Maybe because it was like there was a lot. I mean, look at this. This is issue number one of Froggy, a facsimile of it. But there it is. You know what I mean? Like you weren't getting just the frog. Well, I mean, you were getting comics that just had frogs in them, but it wasn't necessarily just the comic strip frog, which I believe's tagline was like, it's life, but you're a frog or some shit like that. You know what I mean? That's not what it was all
so
about.
So what kind of character is Frog? Are we talking about, is it just like a slice of life? Maybe there's some humor in there. Maybe there's some lessons.
Yeah, exactly. They were, I mean, I can give you a dramatic reading one.
Sure. Yeah.
Nice. Let's find one. Like,
I would like to do a table read, honestly, one day.
If you could take a picture of it all and just send it to us right now, we can cast this with the talent we have currently on this podcast. We can read it right now. No further, further preparation.
I appreciate that.
If you're Kevin, you're Frog. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Here we go. This frog, this frog strip is titled Easter Time, as you can see by the frog popping
Easter
out of the
time.
Easter.
Oh, okay. They always got newspapers in front of them still.
I'm telling you, Andy, I got one trick and that's it. All right. I'm not gonna learn to draw the bodies. All right. How do I get to the next comic book? Behind the goddamn fucking newspapers.
I respect the commitment to not to drawing the newspapers and also just have everything dead onto the camera. No perspective.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, how do you draw this sideways?
No sideways.
Trust me, I was in way too deep by the time I tried to have them turn their head. And I'm like, where do the eyes stop? Are they are they three? Is it just an egg sitting on top of a piece of putty? Like exactly. I didn't know. I was fine.
We don't know.
Back to comic here, right? I don't remember the frog's name, so we're gonna go Frog A and Frog B, all right? Frog A says, why does the Easter bunny represent Easter? Why not a chicken? They really do lay eggs. Next panel. Frog 2 or Frog B. Why not? Frog A. Because bunnies don't lay eggs. Who chose a bunny? It's wrong, I tell you. Dead wrong. Next panel. Frog B. Well, Santa's reindeer don't really fly. Are you against them too? Frog A in the kicker here. They don't. And you can see Frog A crying because this is the realization that Santa's not real.
Oh, man, that's such a tragedy.
Man, that sucks.
I'm putting it out there, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, a lot of people were afraid to tell you the truth here.
This guy's telling stories right here.
That's what it was all about in the day, back
in the
day.
Using humor to illuminate some hard subjects.
Sure. Yeah.
Really kind of showcasing that talent.
here's one I did about Gula, which, as you already know, is Poe's nickname. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like Poe at all. Don't worry.
Andy, I'd love to put these out for the audience and have you just draw a couple extra more panels where it gets super existential. Where like we just finished that one and it's like, well, Santa's reindeers don't really fly. And then the next panel is Santa's reindeers are an abomination against Jesus Christ. And you just go deep on it. You know what I mean? Like,
is this how my chest looks?
Why are we always reading the same newspaper?
You might say, okay, he can only draw them with the newspaper. I could clearly also just draw them laying on the couch. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because again, what's another way to be dead on with the camera?
Did you just
been writing probably? Because yeah, you see, it's, you know, there's nothing. This is why you have people who write the comics and then people who draw the comics. Yeah, yeah.
There are some specialists. I like to think that you are a specialist. This is a good one too,
all right? This is, all right, here we go, all right? You ready, Andy? Frog A, come on, time for church. Frog B, I'm not going. I don't believe in a heaven or a hell. Frog A, so you don't believe in heaven, or you don't believe in hell and the devil? Frog B, that's what I said. Frog A, well, if there's no devil, how do you explain ABC's TGIF what? Lineup on Friday.
Wow.
I like TGIF. Why was I dunking on it?
We're getting dunking topical here.
Screw you, Patrick Duffy.
You know what I mean? Yeah, get out of here, Suzanne Summers and stuff. It's great content. You know what I mean? Christine Lincoln was on that. We like her. I don't know what I mean.
Sprung that one on us.
Audio listeners, you're going to want to watch this one.
There's a lot of art there. Now, but then we got the dramatic readings out of the way. You know what I mean? It's all about that.
Well, we can describe the art to them a little bit too. So just imagine a frog drawn dead on with a newspaper. That's every panel. That's every panel.
And both of them.
One had sunglasses, one had a mustache, and one had neither. And that's how you did, you know, differentiate.
Got it. I'm sorry. I didn't see the camera blur that was blurring in and out.
I understand.
I missed some of the nuance of the drawing.
It was a good episode.
It was a good episode. We had fun. I didn't expect to go in this way. Did you have fun?
Either, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we drag out the thing. We went in the Ghostbusters closet. You still have a post show to do.
A post show?
Post show. Post. Post. Okay. Right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on these comics, each coming to bullshit about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you like that, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to be part of the show, writing with your own questions. We're going to answer some of those in the post show about mom becoming a grandma and so much more. Of course, you get the Q&A show exclusive. You can get the show ad-free. Yada, yada, yada. You can watch it live, just like Madeline is, Joshy is, Kessel Winks are. Of course, if you have no bucks tossed our way, no big deal. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week to get brand spanking new episodes. Mom, thanks for joining me.
It was my pleasure.
Guys, thanks for being
here. Nice seeing you guys again, too.
Yeah, good to see you as well.
Great seeing you.
We'll see hopefully more of you in the coming months.
You bet. We still have to get your mom and I together to make cheesecakes.
That's
escalated now. Blessing's going to be the judge because Blessing loves cheesecakes. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm not partial enough.
Can I be a judge, Lee?
I'm the tiebreaker. You're not wearing Kind of Funny merch.
I'm the tiebreaker. I don't need a judge. I could just be there.
No, Andy, we're mothers. We'll feed you. Just come on over.
Fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go do a post show, but if you're not joining us, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.